time to get our view. Where? From the north. Find his work for Comcast SportsNet. Check it out online, csnnw.com. Talking ball on Comcast Channel 737 in high def on my Xfinity system. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. We are here to help him work through more issues. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
I've been better.
So last week, it was an 11-year-old. This week, it's somebody a little older, but the 2011 MVP, who played 66 games last year for your Bulls, 166, however, the last 5 years. Now he's a Knick. So as a Bulls fan, as an analyst, when you heard the news that he was getting dumped for a 35-year-old point guard, a decent big, and Horace Grant's nephew, what was your reaction?
I thought I could do this, but I can't. I have to go.
He can't take it anymore.
What, did you have to recap it all like that? I mean, come on. Did you have to run through the blow by blow?
I didn't, but I did.
You did. You know, there were warning signs like a month ago. People were talking about maybe the Bulls might trade either Butler or Rose, but I kept sort of being in denial. Just trying to, no, they wouldn't do that. I had hopes that, you know, after playing much of last year and not experiencing another injury, that another offseason he would get back to close to his full form. He would never be the same way he was when he won MVP. But I had high hopes for him, and then they just traded him. It's very, from a fan perspective, is very devastating because this guy was a phenom in the making, and then injuries happened, and now he's gone. And it's just sad because I can't even hold out hope anymore. I mean, I hope he does well in New York, but I can't hold out hope anymore he's going to do well in Chicago. And this also means the Bulls are probably going to completely rebuild. And, yeah, it's just – it's kind of sad.
Yeah, when you think about Joakim Noah and Gasol, you know, who knows if they're going to be around. Are they going to try and trade Jimmy Butler?
I think I think everyone's gone but maybe Butler.
Is the bottom line, regardless if you're cleaning house and rebuilding and realizing this crew won't get you there, do you think they could have gotten more for Derrick Rose?
You know what? I don't think so. I think they actually – did about as well as you could expect. They got a first-round pick from last year. They got a solid, not great, but solid center under contract. Sorry about that. They're definitely going to lose Noah, so Lopez can step in and play center. So, you know, in all reality, you're dealing with a guy who's, like you just mentioned, he's barely played in 4 years. He's not what he used to be. He's making $21 million. The Bulls know they're not going to re-sign him. And that's the dilemma here, because whoever has him that last year, you have to then try to figure out if you're going to sign him. And I don't think the Bulls want to commit 5 or 6 more years or a 4-year contract to Derrick Rose after suffering through the last 4 years. And if Derrick has a solid year this year, he's going to want big money.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Let's say you give him a 4-year, $65 million deal, which would be back, but still. That's still $65 million you got tied up in a guy who you don't know what's going to happen next. So I just think they figure, you know what, let's just cut it loose because we don't know exactly what we have. He's in a contract year. And if you're the Knicks, you get a guy who – you know, if he turns out to play well, great, keep him. If he doesn't, it's 1 year, you let him go. You have that cap space to work with. So, I don't know, man. I'm still trying to process the whole thing because he was so good. He was so amazing. I mean, everyone's raving about what Westbrook's doing, and he wasn't the shooter Curry was, but he was at the impact Curry did, and it just all went away because he just, you know, came down wrong as me a couple times, and that was that.
We're approaching the NFL draft, the NBA draft. So there's one duck in the mix, Elgin right. Cook, who, when he first arrived as a JUCO, to think he was even an NBA prospect would have been ridiculous. Now, he's just gotten better and better, but 6'6", 205, can he handle the ball like a guard, muscle up with the front line guys? What do you make of his chances at the next level?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't think he's necessarily a 2 in the NBA, and I don't know if he's definitely not big enough probably to play the 3, but he's such a hard worker. He's pretty versatile. He's not a great shooter, but he can shoot, and
right.
He can develop that. But he plays defense. He works hard. He can rebound. He can bring the ball off the court. You know, he could just do a lot of little things where I think he has a chance to maybe get selected in the second round, and then maybe stick around for a while. He might fall in that sort of Malik Hairston mold where he has some NBA trades, but he's missing some NBA trades, but he ends up on a team for a few years like Malik did.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to be a challenge for him because he is missing some key skills that you'd want at that level. But I think he has so many intangibles that I think he has a shot.
We're talking NBA with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. Finals over. Just a beast of a finish by LeBron. Wins the title for Cleveland. But and I know how defensive you are of Michael and the Bulls. So with the understanding Michael is the greatest player in the history of the finals, 6 for 6, stands forever. How high up the list can we rank LeBron for just his performance in these finals?
In terms of the greatest finals performances?
Yeah, you know, it's up there.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is up there. That's a good question. I have to think about that for a while.
Well, we're on till 6.
Huh. Yeah. Let me call you back now. I think it was clearly impressive. There's no doubt about it. And I think when I talked to you about it before the series, I finally picked Golden State to win in 7. But I said to you, I said, the only way they're going to win this series is if LeBron just takes the team and puts it on his back and then lets everyone else revolve around him. And in the first couple of games, he didn't necessarily do that, and they lost them both. And in game 4, he had a mediocre game, and they lost that one. Now, they did win one other game where he only had 20-something points, but 3 of the 4 wins came with him scoring high 30s or low 40s and just, you know, exerting his will on somebody. And that's what he had to do. I was disappointed he didn't do that. A few years ago, San Antonio was with Miami. He kind of waited for Wade and Ray Allen to get going, and they never got going when he should have just taken over. And when he does that, his teams are almost unbeatable if he has any kind of help. And he got help big time from Kyrie Irving, who was phenomenal in the last 5 games. So it definitely ranks up there. I'm sure I could pick 3 or 4 Michael Jordan performances in the finals and say I think we're better. Magic's has been great NBA finals. But, you know, I think – you know, people criticize LeBron for going to Miami and joining forces with Wade and Bosch. And I do think that takes away some of the luster from those titles, no matter how you put it. I mean, they did join together to form a super team. This kind of takes a little bit off of that because he came back to a young team with a bunch of guys who had never won anything and a bunch of, you know, trade guys and free agent guys that had never won anything. So he gets way more credit for this one. And now he has 3. I would put him, I would say if I was drafting a team tomorrow, I would take him over Larry Bird just because he's so much more athletic and bigger and stronger than Bird. But I'm still going to say Magic, Kareem, Jordan are still better. Bill Russell, he's got a long way to go to catch those guys.
Yeah, by the way, if you're doing research and checking finals performances, look at Worthy in 88.
Worthy went off. Although he had bad games in the losses and was great in the wins. Magic, I thought, had the better all-around series. I was a little disappointed that Worthy got it because Worthy would disappear in the losses. But, yeah, his performances in the games they won were phenomenal.
I know you are joyous that Golden State lost because it's now about 73 wins.
Yes.
And you and I last week talked about if we got the Doc Brown time machine, we'd prefer to see the Bulls play the Lakers or Celtics rather than this Warriors team. So for the future, can we wait for an actual accomplishment before we play the anointing game?
You should have to either win back-to-back titles or have won 3 over a period of time before you should even enter a discussion with any of the great teams of the past. Like, that should be the rule. You shouldn't have one title and a great regular season, and then people start talking that way. Now, a lot of people thought they were going to win it, so there's always that premature, you know, discussion ahead of time. But, you know, look, if you don't have back-to-backs on your resume or you don't have 3 over the course of your career, I don't even want to hear from you. I don't care. And the 73 wins, it was impressive. There's no doubt about that. And, yes, I'm bitter about that because I loved having the Bulls hold that record of 72 wins for 20 years. That was awesome. But as I tweeted the other day, they can have that extra win over Denver, you know, because they lost 9 games in the playoffs, 4 in the finals. 96 Bulls still the greatest single season team ever.
All right.
Arguably.
Final thought Oregon football. Mm-hmm. Kirk Merritt decides to transfer, came here from Louisiana. A lot of people thought he was going to be an all-purpose stud. I saw with Bree you had a conversation on the CSNN site. Is this a young guy unsure of his role? Or like you hit on, sometimes you just over-recruit a position like receiver.
Yeah, I was told by a couple of people that he's concerned about playing time. Now, he said something on Twitter about, you know, a family situation, and we'll see where he lands. If he ends up at LSU to be close to home or Tulane or something like that, okay. If he ends up somewhere else, you know, then maybe the family situation wasn't that big a deal. Or maybe it is. I don't want to take any away from him. But sources have told me playing time is a huge issue. He wants to play more right away. They are stacked the receiver. I'm still shocked he didn't redshirt last year. And I wrote about this before the season. Like, how do you not redshirt this guy with that much talent at receiver? I mean, think about it. Everyone they have now that we know of who's good, they had last year, plus they had Braylon Addison and Byron Marshall. And they still didn't redshirt this kid because they told us how great he was, how phenomenal he is. And then now he's leaving because he doesn't feel like he can get on the field. And when you look at the depth chart, they are stacked. I mean, I'm not even going to list them. Everyone knows who they are. And then you throw in this young kid, Dylan Mitchell, who had two touchdowns in the spring game. And you got him and you got Charles Nelson look like slot guys, which is what Kirk Merritt probably is going to be. He's probably thinking, hell, man, I Charles Nelson in front of me, and then we got this other guy. You know, I might not start for two more years. I may only have 1 year to start, whereas he transfers redshirts this coming year. He could have 3 years or maybe two or three to start somewhere else. And as far as the Ducks are concerned, you're fine. You absorb this. And this is really what you want. I say this all the time when fans go, I remember some fan telling me, we're eight deep in receiver. We're going to be amazing. I'm like, dude, you can only play three or four at once. And you only have one football. Are you going to sit here and tell me that all eight receivers are going to have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns? No. So I don't want to hear about having eight receivers. But that's what you want your team to be able to do, to recruit so heavily that good players leave. Because that means you're stacked at that position. What you don't want is to recruit so poorly, so you got to go to Big Sky and get guys to come play for you to save your quarterback position. So they're doing that receiver the opposite of what they've been doing that quarterback. They're going to be just fine at receiver for years to come. I mean, they're set for at least a couple more years.
Well, I'm looking forward to Washington State and Mike Leach doing their eight receiver set.
I'm sure Leach has petitioned for such an offense to be illegal.
All right. Hey, so last week you had an 11-year-old almost put you into therapy. This week it's the Bulls. So we'll keep an eye on the Cubs as your next source of potential aggravation. And maybe you should check exactly what your health care plan covers.
Where is Dr. Fraser Crane when you need him?
Always appreciate the time and insight. Have a good one, Aaron. We'll catch you next Thursday.
Take it easy.